Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful, and welcome to the Elohim civilization. You know, I am thinking. I care about what is going on in my mind. And looking back to childhood and growing up into an adult, I know, I can see, and I know that that life experience that I had was not one that steered me in the right path, like allows me to think on the right thing. I can see that because those things of civilization were not taught in any of the experiences that I was having to bring my consciousness in contact with the things that makes me fully aware of what I should be thinking and how I should be feeling. I wasn't getting none of that. So though I am thinking and trying to see if I can get a sense of reality, you know, like gives me psychological understanding of things. And, you know, to let me feel content with my life. None of those things were in my life. So I was pretty much living on, you know, living on empty. Today, when now that I have certain knowledge of history and this sense of civilization, I know I'm conscious of the way I am to be thinking. So if I am plagued with nonsense, I know how to deal with that, to divert my thought to begin to reach for more power of thought to repel what I consider to be, that's not what I want to think about. I don't want to feel that way. Wish it goes away. I am a little behind time. However, I have enough time to chat and to have anybody you want to call. You have another, say, 50 minutes you can call in. I know there has to be people out there who would like to call me. Well, if I really know that there is difficulty to get people to call me because, you know, I am going through transformation, and this is not a fanatical thing. This is a very serious thing. Anybody want to call me and plug me into like your frequency and what you're thinking, that would be something nice. I really, really want to talk to other people who are thinking something else than me. And it is such experience where I realize, in as much as I entertain other people's thoughts, I am not knowingly doing, you know, in my speech, I'm not trying to get anybody upset. However, we live in a Christian world. A Christian world is not a civilized one. When I say something like that, I may just get somebody irritated and, you know, won't have pleasure in talking to me. One of the things that I am suspecting that I am causing people to not want to talk to me is that the context, the things that I the things that I think I should talk about of necessity, you know, are the things that I didn't grow up to hear anybody talk about. Because where I should hear people, especially in the church, I should be hearing them talking about the civilized world. That's not what they were talking about. They were talking about praying, fasting, seek the Holy Ghost, and all that kind of stuff. Now, when that becomes the normative of what a person craves for, it is simple because there is no other avenue available that anybody is even thinking about out of the ground, you know, coming up out of the dry ground with a different growth that belongs to this the sphere of knowledge that we should know. Let's say, for example, there are a number of things in the Bible that we read we don't understand. Nobody tried to understand them and live with that understanding from they are children until they turn adult. And they still don't know those things. But they are accepted like, you know, that's the truth anyway. You don't understand it, but it's all right. You know, nobody is going to understand those things until you're dead. That kind of attitude. And, you know, it turns out that I grow up to find out that the things that I am thinking about as reality is not reality. No, it becomes problem for one who doesn't know to start knowing, all right? And that's a problem. Now, I think that when we talk about reality of life, what affects us, it would be good that we get to a point where we understand that there is a knowledge that we should know, and at least discover that there are things you have in the Bible that is not going to move you from where you are. You're going to die and believe in the Bible because we were taught that. And if you find out, you have a breakthrough psychologically and your vision and views begin to take you beyond these kind of things that we think this is the word of God and that's what we are to think about. Man, that's a dungeon that we're not going to get out of. So you don't reach for anything else. However, getting to know the psychological world that we are living in, we will have to internalize and do some thinking about words that we are using and stuff like that. If you don't go for that, you're going to stay exactly right where you are. And when you should be in command of yourself, you just don't have no such command whatsoever because you believe all these other things that we were taught in the church. You see what I mean? And if you should begin to find some little abstract stuff that don't really take you to the root of the problem, then you have more misery. No joke about that, man. Your life is not kind of pleasure that you would like to have in yourself. You have to go and start to, you know, you have to realize that there is knowledge in the world. And when we look at the trees and look at the water, and we don't know nothing about it, no more than what we are thinking, that doesn't really take us anywhere. We believe in Jesus and the healing of Jesus and all it, everything about Jesus. And when you read Proverbs and other books of the Bible, you really don't come out with anything. And then when you go into the New Testament and you read a lot of things that St. Paul is saying and stuff like that, and your needle is stuck. You know, you can't go any further. Because when you are reading something that is set to stop your psychological opening, a lot of things go wrong, and your heart is sour rather than reviving, you know? All right. And so then, thank you for tuning into the program. Is an independent type of life that we are to live. And talking about why people don't bother talk to me is I'm developing. And I am not afraid to transform myself. It's nobody's business. It's my own thinking and what my discernment. All of us have power of discernment. We have to take it upon ourselves to learn. You don't want what I. You don't want to be preoccupied with what I am saying. You want to be preoccupied with your thought and what sense you are making to yourself from the source that we read. I am not reading anything that other people are not supposed to read. I grew up with the Bible, and nobody can challenge me for not having a big biblical knowledge. And if I am saying something that don't sound right with the way you believe in the Bible, is now I'm talking from knowledge point of view, from the Bible. So if you can make a difference in with knowledge, prove that I am not understanding the Bible right. If you arrive at that, that's a good point to arrive at. If you think that I am reading wrong, is I want you. I want you. You are the person I want to talk to. Because you know what? I am always comfortable talking to people. Problem is coming from the other side. They are not comfortable talking to me. Look at the way it's working out. They are not asking me questions that I fail to confront. And we mutually work it out. It's not going that way. It's a one-way thing. Whereas I am comfortable with the conversation because I am going to ask you questions if you are on the opposite of what I'm thinking. I'm going to ask a question because my study and my thinking is I am going to tell you what I find to be true. Now, if it is not true when I talk to you, I am not set in a position to just object to what you say. I am going to do word science process with the words that use. So it is words become the arbiter or the judge of what you and I are thinking. We are on opposite sides. But there is a way to analyze and bring together what the both of us are talking about. And it is words that we relate to determine whether or not we know what we are saying. We have to know how to use the words that represent what we are thinking. And if you can't do that, any one of us leave standing, answering and answering up to where it is understood, you making more sense than me. It means it's time. If I am convinced that you're making more sense than me, it's time for me to look into the things that you are saying to me and where I need to make adjustment. If I am not willing to make adjustment when I see, because remember, we're using the same words and the same rules for communication. We're not talking two different things when it comes to that. So words bring out to us the meaning of things. And of course, if we have good sense and we are able to discern between that and this and find out which one of them measure more, and I find out, say, you know what? You can never run me off. You run me off the track that I am on. Because what you say, I'm seeing it to be making perfect truth. And I find out that I'm displaced by what I see. I see what you're saying to be right. But what happens if I find out that I can find myself wrong? Maybe you say something that make me realize that something is not okay with what I am thinking. Well, I would have to admit that. And if I see where you're saying things, you have some sense in what you're saying, yes, but my own dealing of trying to arrive at the fact and conclusion of what we're talking about, I would have to admit that what I am thinking is wrong. And then make use of whatever I see in what you say. I have to make use of it because I want the truth, right? And any element of truth that I find, I have to adapt that. I have to adapt every piece of truth. The truth we don't own, right? We learn knowledge and we learn from each other. We learn from each other and grow. So if we do not have this clear sense of how to learn and grow, we will die without knowledge. So if I want to you that I know more than you, then I am not really going to know anything. Because if that's what I want to do is to control you, what you are saying, or control, you know, any move you make, and stuff like that, if that's what I intend to do, it's not going to do no good. We must be neutral. We must be objective. And that's the way it is with me. Because, you know, if you want to be great, you will have to play by the rules. Leave yourself out of it, because we are all flawed, and people who are grown up and don't know the right things. So if we come of age now and we are able to read and know that word is the arbiter, we must pay words attention. And what we get out of words, that's what is going to put us in a position where we can impart to other people what is found to be the fact. So we are in fact finding. So folks who are out there with Bible knowledge, praying and all it, and go to prayer breakfast and all this kind of foolishness, and the real history is not telling us anything like, you know, these church kind of thinking, you know. You're definitely not going to find it easy to talk to somebody like me. I am not seeking to gain notoriety from anybody. I want to gain knowledge for myself. And if you are making sense, I want to learn some of your sense to see, you know, do I need to, like, you know, get some of the sense that you're talking, because it's going to help me. That's what I'm supposed to do. Because I am never going to be biased against somebody who is saying something that I find enlightening and will do me well. If I get some of that and incorporate it with what I already know. Come on. So is the thing that I find is going on today, whereas people are, as it were, like super glue up with the Bible and not with linguistics. Reading the Bible, if you begin be affected by the words in the Bible, you're going to have ability like a detective, you know, an investigator into what words are saying. Now, if I say to you that there is no wise men that follow a star in the Bible, that is what a Christian believes. And if you think that wise men follow a star, and I'm telling you, no, it's not true. What are you going to do? Laugh at me and walk away? Or you want me to prove to you? Listen, it is yesterday I was talking to, you know, a cousin of mine, and we are close in blood, right? His mother and my mother were very close blood people. He is a minister, a Christian minister. And this guy is, you know, married, have children. But he is advanced. Although he believes, I was a believer too, and nobody wasn't trying to talk to me or taking me into the depth of reality. Nobody wasn't doing that. And I didn't know what it is. So it's my constant reading that caused me to grow my interest in knowing things. And I am a lover of words and what words are saying. So, I basically get married to words, you see? I get married to words. I want to know what words are saying. Now, my cousin and his wife, you know, they are into the church establishment. And we were talking, we have been talking for some time. And it is strange for me to have frequent association and conversation with a Christian. So this is not an ordinary Christian guy. I don't talk to him to like agitate him or something like that. Now, I can easily destroy somebody who don't have, you know, that depth of knowledge in certain things when it comes to Bible. Since I've been in the Bible from I was, you know, age 7 or so. I don't think I was reading at that time, but I was in the church. I wanted to be a part of the church. It so happened now in my later years now that I began to see things in words. And it makes all the difference, you know, to the way I grow up. I read a lot of things in the Bible. There's hardly anything in the Bible that you can ask me that I couldn't, you know, like do something, argue with you on. But I can tell you this. I didn't read every page in the Bible, you know, over half a century. No, I didn't. But I read a lot on most of the books in the Bible. But there are details of some things, even in the New Testament. Although, I don't know everything in the New Testament, but I know the context and the structure and form of the New Testament. It's a new covenant. So anywhere I am reading in the New Testament, I know the context of the New Testament. And so is the Old Testament. They call it covenant, Old Covenant and New Covenant, right? You have a bunch of priests like Moses and Aaron and other, you know, characters in the Old Testament, and the prophets. And what I'm trying to say to you is that there are some details somewhere in the Bible that I may hear for or read at the for the first time. I don't know everything, but I understand the context, the structure and form of Old and New Testament. So I am in a good position to argue with anybody about Bible as a whole, right? So if you understand the context of Old and New Testament, nobody can, you can't get lost in no conversation about the Bible, because that's what gives the general sense, Old and New Testament, that combine the entire Bible. So they have a thing that's called rightly dividing the word of truth, right? If olden days gone by was Old Testament, Old Covenant, where the God of the Bible dealt with people in that era, when, of course, it would lead us to modern time, that like we call now, right? Modern time, whether or not we know what modern is. However, certain knowledge about what God said to people through the prophets. Moses, the priest and stuff like that, is Moses and Aaron and the temple and offer sacrifice and stuff like that. And God is promising that the day will come when he will no longer make people do those things, because he's going to send his son into the world, and his son going to die for sin. New Testament. So here come Christ choosing 12 disciples and taught them and set up the church. Okay. Now, none of those things that I said to you about Old Testament and New Testament, none of it is civilized information. Okay? Old Testament and New Testament has nothing to do with human civilization. And when it comes to talk about the creation of the hybrid people in he created as primitive workers in South Africa, in the Abzu of South Africa. And that it is alarming to know, to hear what I say, that I am completely striking the Bible to be a civilized book. That's what I'm doing. I'm telling you that the Bible as a whole, not a civilized book. That's what I am telling you. However, being that I become, let's say then, an authority based on what I know, become an authority. I don't say I'm the only authority. No, I mean, talk about Bart Ehrman. You know, he is a great scholar on the Bible. And Ray Higgins and a lot of other guys. Now, I realize that there's a difference between me and almost all of these people. Though we agree on the primary things the primary thing that we as people who grow up as Christians believe. So because the Bible is not a civilized book, it doesn't mean that it doesn't have some civilized things in there. But what condemns it is basically coming from the people who have written Old Testament and New Testament and set up the construct about the paradigm of God, a spirit God, and he has a son, and there is no woman into this arrangement of God and a son. That right there should tell you something, that something is wrong with the Bible. Okay? However, I am telling you about my cousin believe in the Bible, and that some things that I began to realize about the Bible contradictory about Jesus and other things. But let's talk about Jesus. Did Jesus exist? And there is confusion in what we are reading about Jesus Christ and about Adam and Eve. Yeah, there's contradiction and confusion why you cannot rely and should not rely on the Bible as a book telling you about creation, because the Bible is not really concerned with creation and is not telling the truth about creation. And the Bible does not enhance history. It defiles history. So therefore, you shouldn't want to believe the Bible about how God created heaven and earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. That is not something civilized for people who are sane and sober people. That belongs, whether or not you like it, to white people. Because white people are the corruption of the world. They are the ones that destroy civilized people and pretend like they are civilized people. All right. Now, as a Christian person, and you hear me say that, it's a whole lot of education that I get from reading. Why I'm able to tell you that? When I was 100% a believing Christian. I come now that I will tell you, Christianity was never created by civilized people. Okay, so there are a lot of confusion about that. If you are to get or clear your head of foolishness, things that you will have to read and know before you would really understand why I say it. The point is now, when I talk to my cousin about things in the Bible, I'm going to show you the point why I raised this up to you in the beginning. And it is that the things that we believe in the Bible about Jesus Christ, there are things in the Bible that contradicts that Jesus Christ exists. How are you going to find that out? Well, I read gradually and find out gradually and have a settled peace in myself that, you know, Christianity is not a civilized thing. It is not created by civilized people. Their problem in the world concerning human existence that we are to know, and because we don't know, this Bible creates a problem, because since we don't know what is real history and we were brought up with the Bible, we don't know anything else, and our parents have not read and know what the truth is about our human life. So therefore, it's not likely that a lot of people are going to find out or will ever be able to accept the truth of history. Because all that is going to happen is that they, the Christians, only hear the word history, but they never get to read it and find out. So the people, like the white people, Emma, as you can see, white people ruling the world. And if you read history and know where the origin of humanity coming from, and you probably know about the ape-like humans who came first, and there was no other human being around. It was only them, right? But over time, millions of years, things happened. And then we know about the Elohim that came to earth and created mankind. Well, they didn't come to create no mankind. It was a mission that they were on in South Africa. And they know about Africa long before we came about. So these are knowledge that we are to have to clear the cobweb of our vision. All right? So I was talking to my cousin, and, you know, anytime I say things that my cousin don't like, he doesn't get angry or not like that. But it's hard because he is someone that will say to me, well, tell you what. When you see God, you ask him about it. That's what my cousin will say. You ask him about it. Because, you see, it's going to take a while before my cousin's interest in facing everything he should face to prove whether or not what he's believing is true, right? I know that. Believing in Christianity, like where I come from with it, it's not going to be a bite of the cake that is going to make you just see things. No, you'll have to put interest in it to find out exactly a reading that illustrates to you something about the subject matter, about Jesus Christ, about God, who is a spirit, and you must worship him in spirit and in truth. To change your concept of all of that, you have to put your interest to read and find out. Read words and get to know the information concerning what you believe and you don't know. You want to get into the knowledge of it now, right? Well, my cousin told him that Jesus in the Bible never became a king like the prophet prophesied and said. Prior to that, about a month or so, we've been having a conversation about the prophet of Isaiah, chapter 9 in the book of Isaiah. And I make mention of the fact of what I observe now in my time of clarity reading the prophecy of the prophets and the manner in which we get this piece of information. Quite a few prophets are given in the Bible to prophesy, and when I used to read, I see mention of different prophets that make small reference to a Messiah that would come into the world, right? That's the way that these white people who construct the Bible, that's the way they do it. They are very talented. It's just that they're not talented enough. Because once we African hybrid people begin to pay interest to what they write, it's not hard to find out that they're picking up on themselves, right? Because of all the prophets in the Bible prophesying about the Messiah who would come into the world, only Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 verses, that write a full prescription of what would take place when Jesus arrived in the world to die for the sins of people. All right? And I'm going to read it to you to separate the allusions, things that other prophets just refer to it, but not nail down exactly the fulfillment that when he comes, everybody would know, because he would do the things that fulfill the prophecy, right? So remember now, the time of darkness is past, and Isaiah, I think, 31st, where God says to Isaiah, to Jeremiah 31, behold, the days come when I will make a new covenant with the host of Israel and the host of Judah. You think somebody like a prophet is really saying those things? A lie. It's a lie. So what I'm telling you now is coming around to what I said to my cousin. Now, first I asked my cousin about this prophecy here. I said, look, this prophecy here written by Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. I don't read it in any other prophet's writing where they talk about a Messiah would come. Isaiah here, Isaiah, is the only one I see write a direct prescription where unmistakably today is like beyond 2,000 years ago since, you know, the Christian hold that Jesus Christ came and was crucified, buried, and resurrected, right? Is today is 2022 years. All right. So watch this now. My cousin is a minister, and that's big deal. A minister is a minister that care for your soul and care about the truth. But if the Bible don't have the truth, I mean, I have never in my half a century or more ever found anything that I wish to, like, stop the train for. I remember, you know, I began to see some things and go to the pastor and talk to the pastor, but I wasn't coming up against the existence of the Bible or the prophet. It's just that there are some precepts in the Bible that Christian church should be following that they're not following it, and they're not following it because it's not true. Although a better thing is in the Bible than what the church is doing, but the church is not following the thing in the Bible because what is in the Bible is not true. Although it sounds good. So I asked my cousin, who is the minister, about Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the rule, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice, for henceforth even forever the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Now think of the prescription in these two verses, because no place else in this chapter is similar or closely support the prescription in these two chapters, in these two verses. It is distinct and gives exactly the things to be done by this child that is born, right? So they have the child that is born as Jesus, right? Joseph and Mary, stuff like that, right? So they write this now as what the prophecy says that must happen. Now, do you think Jesus can come into the world and these things don't happen that I've just read, the prescription. Could Jesus come into the world 2,000 years ago and this happened and we don't know? So did a Jesus came into the world and perform what the prophet prophesied and said? Because he said, God will see to it that it's done. As any part of Isaiah 6 and 7 displayed as a fulfillment in the new covenant, the New Testament. You read it for yourself. Read it for yourself, because look, you know what this is about? You know, before I go there, my minister cousin, take his time and, you know, and assimilate away from the question I'm asking him. Right? And I'm going to allow him to do it. Because there's not such thing that I am going to say, I can't wait, so therefore I'm going to put pressure on him. I'm not putting any pressure on him. If there is time, there is time. There will be time. And if something is happening inside of his brain, if he's seeing things, if he's reacting to things, it will come out. Because if you look at this writing, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Right? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And now, 7th verse. Of the increase of his government. Should there be a government? And that this government would increase in its function? Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Did it do? Now, is this clear? That these words from the Old Testament, in the prophet book 9 chapter of Isaiah, and in the 6 and 7 verses, these things are said. How many things are there to be fulfilled that never happened in the world before, but this is supposed to happen in order to fulfill, you know, all the epistles in the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It can't happen unless the prophecy is fulfilled. Do you agree with that? All right. Well, my cousin is not able to answer that yet at all. And after that, a couple or so weeks went by. We talked. But he's not going there. He's not touching it. Now, we went on to talk. And, you know, I brought, since, you know, he's not ready yet, I decided, we are talking, you know, talking nice. And so as we were talking something, I came up with a reference to Jesus and the king, the kingship that he should raise up, right? In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. So, clearly it talks about peace, right? Prince of peace, right? An increase of government. So, and so the king, you know, he would be a prince of peace, and he would, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth and forevermore. So this is saying that he would sit up on David's throne. So that means he will be crowned as a king to sit up on, you know, in judgment and the increase of his government, like David was. So, if you agree that Christianity cannot exist without this prophecy fulfilled, then where is the fulfillment of those things in the New Testament? So I'm going to show you St. John 6 on the 15th verse. St. John 6 on the 15th verse. I'm going to show you where you have reference to show that the New Testament in line with what the prophecy says. All prophecies herald that this king would come. So watch this. I said to my cousin yesterday that, look, no, Jesus never exists. And I can sense he was a little nervous about that. And I asked him, have you read it? You know? But I am asking him now about, as he read what I say about Jesus never exists because he went up in a hilly bush and hid himself from people who were supposed to come and make him a king. So it was strange to him because he said, no, he has never read that yet. No, you're talking about you don't expect to see the New Testament. Is telling you that Jesus never existed. How are you going to know the New Testament is telling you that Jesus never existed? It's when it tells you something that is unhinged to the prophecy. It does not support what the prophecy says, as good as it sounds in the prophecy. But the prophecy is very blunt, what's supposed to happen. Well, when you talk about false prophecy, that's what that is, because people now believe in it, even though it don't fulfill, they still think it fulfill. That's a bad thing when You are being told something is not true, prove it is not true, and you still believe it. It's like Trump. You know, the evidence comes out that he didn't win the election. He lost it. But he keep on saying they stole the election from him. Though it's proven that he himself know that it's not true, but he's carrying on that lie. Now, you can't redeem anything or anybody in such a situation where somebody's perverting the truth about something. You know, that is the worst thing to happen to you. Truth is what make people exist in this civilized world. The truth is necessary. You know, like this man said, justice is justice is important. Yeah? Justice is important. It may not be the exact word, but that's what he's saying. You need justice, because if you're not going to have justice, a lot of bad things going to happen. So now I come to find out that my cousin is running from one thing, and I am bringing something else similar, just as devastating to him. So when I asked him if he ever read it, he said no. He said he's going to get his Bible and read it right now. And then we end that conversation yesterday. He's going to read it to see if what I'm saying is true. So this is what it says. 16 and 15. It says, all right, let's read the opposite verses here. It says here that St. John 6, and go to the, say the 11 verse, and go right down to the 15. And Jesus took the loaves, right? And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Right? Now people are out there, right? A whole bunch of people out there, right? Because it is saying that they talk about Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here with which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now listen, you think all of what I'm reading here are lies. You know, it turns out to be lies. But I believe all of this from I was a child. All right. What I did not pay attention to in this here. I'm going to read it to you. So it goes on that verse. So Jesus. So it says, now Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, and that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gather them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that would come into the world. Now, here is the verse. So you see that the people, they were very, very, they were very inspired by the mighty, miraculous things that Jesus did, right? Now, you come and see if it is miraculous for real. Listen to this. Remember, Jesus has a commission to fulfill the prophets, right? Listen now and tell me when the time come now for Jesus fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6-7. See if Jesus respond to that in what they are writing. And he call in question, how can anybody with sense, I mean, put a mass all this kind of stuff together and go contrary with it? So is when you read about the star that men follow. Same thing. They run aground with the story. It don't make no sense. Okay? Verse 15 of St. John 6. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take them by... No. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king to rule. That's what we read in Isaiah 9:6-7, the prescription. Here, Jesus is supposed to fulfill the prescription of Isaiah. And look at what Jesus is going to do right here now. After they set you up with the miracles, where Jesus did with his disciples that morning, right? After they come back home now, they are telling you how Jesus react to this occasion where he is to move up and fulfill the prophecy to be king. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. You hear that? Second time I read this to you right now, right? So that it soaked in. He went into a mountain. I could stop it here, but let's see what the next two verses may say. Check this out. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. And that's it. What happened to him becoming a king and to fulfill the prophecy? Does it? All right. So I don't know what my cousin preacher is going to come and say whenever he talks to me again. I don't know what he's going to say to me. But these type of writing is in Genesis creation story about the talking serpent. The same kind of jargon foolishness that they make up as a story about Jesus. No wonder, you see, the situation under which they are talking about Jesus is the situation under which they are carrying out imperial colonialism, the white people there. These are all colonial stories that they're writing in the Bible. Create an impression on people that it is true. But go and see that when they invaded Palestine, is criminal act they were doing. But they turn it off now, like if something come from heaven, like we are jackasses, we will never understand anything. This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff that we are believing from childhood. And not Nagasa. When somebody take you away from reality and carry you out there to go feed on grass, dry grass, what do you call it? And the white people are here, you are among them, and look, this is a miracle, right? This has to be a miracle. How do they get us to do that? Well, there are more to it. Because you have a history to tell us exactly how these white people come to do writing something like a Bible right now. And they are ape man, the first humankind on earth that evolved. And how did they come to be talking and doing all these kind of stuff that they're doing? And write all these kind of stuff. This is backfiring. Backfiring. This is the worst fraud that we have ever seen or heard. The bad thing about it is that too many of us have lost our faculty with all of the education that we have. We read these things and believe them all of our lives and not Nagasa. You know what I mean? Nothing don't go like that. So I want to thank you for tuning into the program. I want to tell you things that are of substance for you to read and know yourself. Because just telling a person your opinion and, you know, not backing it up with source, proper source, because you rely on this Bible. And if you are going to be made to identify that the Bible is telling you something that is not true and something that you think nobody can change, it's true. And it's going to be proven to you in not one, not two, not three, not four, not five. You keep on counting. You ask Bart Ehrman, if you see Bart Ehrman, and you can see him on YouTube. I would recommend you read Bart Ehrman's work on the Bible, because from an intellectual perspective, he is one of the prominent writers who were a minister. Bart Ehrman was a minister. And Bart Ehrman he looks like a Cro-Magnon type of man. It's like, I am not an educated person, but the little education that I have in reading caused my eye to open. A person who is a Cro-Magnon is not a full hybrid person, a crossbreed, okay? But they have a lot of the blood that gives you high intellectual thinking, okay? I am fully hybrid, and I am only affected by whatever dimension I am affected by, what crossbreeding may have done. But I don't have much of any sign, physical sign, that I'm crossbreed, because I have, you know, both skin color, you know, like a deep, deep brown color, and although I was in the church for all that long time, but my brain was being preserved. I was not a Christian fanatic. No. To me, Christianity was just something true, and no need to be concerned about anything else. That's the way I was. But my mind was full of perplexity. I wasn't okay. So this is how I started to read and find out that, oh my God, no, these things, I mean, it was hard to accept that I was reading these unhinged foolishness. You see, knowing that we have sodomite white people in the world now, mixed breed and all kind of thing, they look like us. If you know exactly what happened in history, I tell you what, you would just like what? Take a wash out and clean yourself out. You know, when you realize that New Testament is telling you Jesus was ordained before all things. And all, no ordination in the Bible is true. No God there is true. But they fix this Bible, put it together, and they're successful at it. They take over the world, and people don't look on anything else that is civilized but the Pope. The Pope is all right. And you see them, I show you Pope, a kiss man, your whole man, and a kiss man, and all that kind of thing there. And no alarm, nobody no alarm about it. It's not a civilized establishment that we're looking at. We're looking at homosexual being glorified in a pope and emperors, and we believe it. No, that's terrible. All right, now I am late, and therefore I need to go to the featured part of this edition. You know, if you don't want to live any other life, Christian life, just think whether or not you believe in what the Bible says to be true. And if you are shown that the Bible writers intended to lie by setting up prophecy and Old Testament and, you know, different from New Testament and New Covenant, and said Jesus is the New Covenant, and you think about where these stories are coming from. Think about where they are coming from and why they are being written. You think about that. You see, and these white people are telling you, they are pushing Jesus. They are telling you, oh, Jesus' name is good and everything, and that St. Paul is telling you, oh, Jesus is, and you don't see how they're setting up the Bible for people who already, because our brain is all affected negatively, our brain, by these white people blood. Okay, it's the reason why there's hardly any of us that making any sense. You see? So we think about civilization and stuff like that. It's not anything like that. Because my brother has a PhD, and if anybody should be able to teach you what is civilization, is him. Because he's brilliant. PhD. Okay? I am nowhere in his academic class at all. Yet still, my brother is relegated. His brain is relegated to where he would say he don't accept history as anything. History, that is a record of the past. My brother with a PhD don't respect history. So that he'll preach Jesus that he believe in. Grow up with it as a child, and that's it right now. So if you don't know that we have brain problem, African people, as much as you think we are healthy and all that, but what kind of principality power do we have? If we are suffer under white people the way we do, where is the power that we have as hybrid people? And I will stop at nothing to prove what I'm saying. 200,000 years ago is when the history says that we were created in South Africa. All right? Well, the first 100,000 years that we developed in Africa, before we were put into urban civilization in Mesopotamia, Egypt, India, and China. Before that, that first 100,000 years, what kind of people were we? We never journey outside of Africa yet. The first 100,000 years, we all developed in Africa. But after that, the gods begin to develop the standard of life for us. They had everything here, everything, the pyramids and everything, all the grandeur of life, they all set it up here. But now they wanted us to have a greater sense of life. And they started in the river valley. Right? Now, you don't read anything that Europe was civilization. None whatsoever. They left Africa and go up into Europe 1.5 million years ago. What become of them? Nobody don't know. You only see them here now making all kind of trouble and killing people and say they are a government and take over all of the African places. Every one of them. They take it over and say they're ruling and they dictate the terms of our existence. These faggot, batty, fucking ass white people. And say they are the government of the world. Now, all these things, the Bible is their book. The Bible is not African people's book. They get us to believe it. But, I mean, when we start to read and find out, will you still believe the Bible? Point is, we cannot have white people control our lives. And if you think that, oh, it should just go on, you are going to get all, you know, flushed out of civilization because the gods don't want none of this faggot white people destroying civilization. And we are by far too advanced with the knowledge that is put inside of us. But with the kind of infestation and relegation that we suffer and the recessive condition of our brain. See,
We are no good. Where is Marcus Garvey? Where is Marcus Garvey? What was Marcus Garvey doing? What was El Selassie doing? Look at them. They run from these white people after they take away everything from us. How did they get to take away from us? Because they go to Africa and drive them into the abyss. You don't hear Africa saying nothing about what the killing and stuff like that these white people do. Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Where is Africa? They give give military to these white people to start killing us. So if you sit there and you think that Africa is this and Africa, talk about the land. I'm talking about Africa is the land and have all the riches and stuff like that. But who is set there to be government is no longer government. They turn sodomite democracy. You see, and you see that Hillary and what's his name there, Obama, go and kill Gaddafi in Libya, right? And then you have Colin Powell that support George Bush to go down into Iraq and destroy the people them and think about 9/11. You don't see any African people stand up and defend the African way of life. No. And they all they do is support him. Support George Bush. Okay? That even the British Prime Minister, Tony Blair, he at first supported it, but after it came out that it was a hoax, a lie. We are calling Powell, the African man who is supposed to be a representation of the Elohim establishment on earth. He sided with these sodomites and go to their so-called United Nations and talk about, Saddam had weapon of mass destruction. And a lie. We don't have anybody to represent us. And all the lies in the Bible here, and they into the church. All of us into the church. The church is a sodomite institution. When they talk about Jesus that started the church, they're talking about Europeans start the church. Because where they destroy the people in Palestine, it was all Hebrew people. It was not no European idiots. Okay? We are not the kind of people for them to fool around. Okay? Because the truth is enough to protect us. But when we don't have anybody talking the truth and bringing more of us in line, then these sodomites are going to control, just like you see they're controlling. But if we rise up and, get away from the foolishness that they come and establish, they will run away from us because too many things are right around us to fall down on these people. They are not supposed to be among us. Their blood is ape-like blood. They're not supposed to mingle with African people. We are a different culture, and the World Literature textbook tells you that a culture are people of the same makeup, way of life. White people don't ever appear in the World Literature textbook as civilized people. They do not. All right. And so, let's get some of this. Genesis 19, Sodomy city, attack, righteous, Lot. Genesis, Sodomy city, attack, righteous, Lot. Our gay ruling civilization.
are gay ruling civilization. That's what is happening. Yes, yeah, so it is Genesis 19. You read it. Genesis 19. Sodomite city attack. Righteous Lot. So, are gays ruling civilization today? Yes. Yes. Genesis 19. Sodom city attack righteous Lot. Okay. And so, what? What is okay, let's see here. Okay. Certified history is record Bible not certified. It's fiction. Whether or not you want to accept it and you think that there is a God that is love you and answer your prayer and stuff like that, the Bible would be true then. It wouldn't lie. So it means you need to start finding what is true. The Bible, history. We have history to tell us about the past, our ancestors. That's not what the Bible is doing. So you waste your time. And so it goes on here to say, where did sodomites come from? Sodomy and sodomite are some of the ugliest words in the English language. They, of course, are derived from the Canaanite city of Sodom, whose destruction, along with Gomorrah, is related. Is related in Genesis 19. I pray our civilized heavenly Elohim to relieve us of the Sodomite influx. Destroy. Destroy from among us spoiled people that will never bear spiritual fruit, but renew those yearning to be enlightened, that the earth be once again filled with the glory of the Elohim gods, as water covers the depth of the earth. Michael Tellinger is a musician, author, scientist, and an explorer from Mpumalanga, South Africa. Michael has been making groundbreaking discoveries about a vanished ancient civilization at the southern tip of Africa. His continued efforts and analytical scientific approach have produced stunning new evidence that will force us to rethink our origin and rewrite our history books. Adam's calendar, now referred to as Encke's calendar, is the flagship among millions of circular stone ruins, ancient roads, agricultural terraces, and thousands of ancient mines behind by a vanished civilization which we now call the First People. These settlements cover most of southern Africa, an area about twice the size of Texas. They carved detailed images into the hardest, worshipped the sun, and were the first to carve an image of the Egyptian Anka, key of life and universal knowledge, thousands upon thousands of years before the Egyptians ever came to light. Is Encke's calendar, AD Anadamani, Gay's moon calendar? No. The code of Ur-Nammu, 2100 to 2050 BC, is the oldest extant law code. My friends, there's a lot here for us. A lot here for us to know and to get drawn into, right? Because, you know, we are just living until such time. So right now is the time. And it's why I'm bringing you these kinds of information that I have found to be to be the life of civilized people. This is a gift. This is something that we cannot afford to lose. And if you want to lose your opportunity of it, to know and to live, it's all yours to do. But I don't want to have nothing to do with foolishness. Okay? And whatever I am blessed with, I am too thankful. I am so thankful. Blessings to you. And I hope that you also find the blessing. Nobody cannot do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And so I'm going to say good day to you. Be blessed. Till the next edition. Take good care. Thank you.
Thank you.